This is the Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
Fucking great show.
Listening to the Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you punk?
The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
From radio, oh, 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 now in a closet studio, oh, 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 they are Robin Joe. All the listeners in the chat room, they make Rob mad, 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 but when they slurp our producer, oh, you know it makes them glad, glad, glad. The girls that Joe loves so, they're all too young to vote. He wants them. Oh, time to hit the post.
Look at that, Joe. Some new clips there.
Man, badass.
I like it. I like it. This is the Rob and Joe Show, home of Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals fans. And to come on and talk hockey, we've got Mike Chamberlain.
Yes.
I am here.
Yeah. One of our... do you think he's one of our most revered or most hated guests?
He's polarizing.
Yes. I mean,
you got people like Mac Berkson that are going to be so excited about the double dip of Mike Chamberlain. And then there's people, you know, that maybe aren't as big of fans.
Well, Mike is Robbie's old friend and lover and theater snob and full-time magician. We just did a bonus show with Mike on the entire show. Do you think that will cause anyone to now become a patron? Just to hear Mike?
Well, let's be honest. Are we more likely to lose an existing patron or gain a new patron?
If you told me that we lost five or gained five, I would say that we lost five.
Guys, we won't do it again to you for a while, okay?
But welcome, Mike. We haven't had you on. It's been forever, it feels like. What's new in your life?
It's been about a year, I think.
Okay. Still married? Still doing magic?
Still married, still doing magic, still directing theater.
What are you directing?
In between projects right now.
What was the last project you did?
Last project I did was a show I worked on in the fall called Sotto Voce. Okay.
Were you happy with it?
Yeah.
Your last project was 9 months ago.
That's right.
All right. That's in between, all right.
You know, I was very critical of Mike when we were talking off air because he made me defensive because he shits on our murder mystery.
Yeah.
But I often brag about Mike when I say I know somebody in theater.
You do? I've never said that.
No, I have. I said, you know,
when
I know.
When does that come up?
Let me think of an instance. I swear it's happened.
Okay.
You know, people that say, hey, I'm an actor. I go, well, I know a director. If you ever need to try out, give me your headshot. I'll hook you up.
Okay, but we've met real actors that are famous. Like, it seems like you could impress people with something else.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that to, you know, fucking Kevin Pollak. But I would say it to, you know, somebody who's an aspiring actor, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean...
Do you think that he has anybody in his plays that's more talented than Justin?
No, but do you think he has anybody in his plays that this isn't just a hobby?
Mike?
Of course I do.
Like, this is what they do for a living?
This is their, they yes. do your shows for a living?
Well, they do legitimate theater for a living.
You're not legitimate theater?
No, the murder mystery is not legitimate theater.
I bet we probably draw more than you draw.
Yeah, is there even a cover charge at these shows?
Yeah, you guys charge to get in.
It's about the prestige. It's not about the money.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you have nothing on the horizon.
I'm in talks.
Okay. Do you need us to help give it a little push?
Do you want to use this as part of your resume?
Yeah.
No.
No. All right. Have you seen any movies in the last 9 months since you're also a movie critic?
Yeah, the couple things I saw from last year, it takes me a while to get caught up.
They got to get to the library. Right.
Yeah, he just saw Braveheart.
Yeah, the couple things I saw from last year, it takes me a while to get caught up.
They got to get to the library. Right.
Yeah, they got to get over to the library.
He just saw Braveheart.
My favorites were Call Me By Your Name, Lady Bird, Get Out.
Those are three you normally see in one weekend. Now, what was your favorite?
Call Me By Your Name.
You didn't like Shape of Water?
No. Thank you for reminding me. No.
You didn't like it. It was bad.
It's troubled.
Okay. Tell me why.
Everything about it feels imposed and not organic.
You didn't feel that the romance was genuine. You couldn't suspend to understand that.
It's not that. It's that the physical world that they created, you're always so aware of it as art direction or as something that's been constructed. It doesn't feel organic. It doesn't feel like it came from the director's...
Is there an Oscar for art direction?
Of course. Yes.
Did it win it?
I think it did.
Yeah, okay. I knew the answers to these questions. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
But like Pan's Labyrinth is a movie by the same director that feels so a part of this guy's psyche. It feels true to who he is. This felt manufactured to me.
Okay.
But technically very skillfully done.
I did love Pan's Labyrinth.
I have a question for you.
More than
you,
this movie.
You know actresses. You've dealt with them. Are you familiar with Niecy Nash?
It's a name I've heard.
Voluptuous black woman. I believe Reno 911 was probably her first big credit.
That's a great show.
She's on this show, Claws. Now, anyway, I was at the Stephen Colbert show with David Koechner last week. It was Thursday night. He recorded his set, his appearance for Friday night, but she was on that actual night. So I was backstage watching her from the corner, and she appeared to have a very good performance. People were laughing a lot. She told a story about Prince, which obviously it piqued my interest. Anyway, she gets off stage. She's walking by, and I say, great job. You killed it. And I put my hand out. And she looked at me like, do I know this guy? And or is he important? Because I was dressed nicer than I normally dress.
You were in a suit?
I had a sport coat and a nice shirt on. I had jeans. But like, and so she looked at me, and she kind of, and then I think she figured out I'm just some guy, and then she was just friendly. But she didn't, like put on the charm. Do you think that she was thinking that in her head? Like, do I need to, like, be nice to this guy? Is he some agent or producer?
She was definitely thinking something of what you just mentioned.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. More likely, why is this person talking to me?
Because in that world, there's constantly, like, there's always, like, can this guy help me out, this person?
I don't think it's that. I think she's like, where did this guy come from?
Right.
And you're saying, you know, you killed it or whatever. By the way,
she did kill it.
Yeah, if I walked off stage and anybody said you killed it, put their hand out and shake their hand. Now, I'm not, you know,
right,
a famous celebrity, but, right, you know, I have some minor celebrity. I would shake anybody's hand. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Well, Koechner also killed it, but I gave him a joke that bombed.
Oh, really? Yes. Tell it.
Oh. So the shtick was that he was going to, he walks out in a jeans and a t-shirt and a hat that he just thinks he hasn't seen Colbert in 35 years. They were in Second City together. He has seen him since then, but the shtick is that he hasn't seen him in 35 years and that he thought that he was just had some black box show in New York City and he had no idea that it was this whole big production and it was just a tryout. And so that's this sort of running gag that he would keep going back to. And then he talked about Corral. What's he up to? And then Koechner goes, yeah, I just heard he got an office job. That was the
okay.
People groaned. It's like, oh, like it was just a cheesy bad joke.
Oh, that was your joke?
My line, yes.
Oh no.
But I take pride in that. That's funnier than it just, it's better if it crushes, but that is better than it just being nothing, right?
But this woman that you complimented,
yes,
she doesn't need a compliment from Rob Mayer.
Okay, but sometimes you just say, hey, how you doing, when you're not really interested in how people are doing because we live in a society.
But he didn't say how you doing. He said, hey, you killed it.
Oh, okay. She's walking. If I don't move, she's going to walk into me. So, like, what am I supposed to do? Not say something? She did kill it.
Are there
and it wasn't
people
kissing her ass.
That are beneath you, Mike, that when they pay you a compliment, you say, who are you to compliment me? That's a fucking dick thing to do.
No, I'm just saying that if someone's a bigger deal than you, usually, unless you have something to say that's very incisive, just the general, hey, you know, great set. You killed it. You rock. You know, it's like, I don't need you to tell me.
Yeah, but if somebody says, hey, you got $100, Mike Chamberlain and Rob Mayer are backstage at the Stephen Colbert show. One of them's going to do something stupid. Who's your money on?
So if you're me, I shouldn't have said anything to her. I shouldn't have said good job. I should have just said nothing.
She had hit his face in shame.
Hi.
Okay. Hi.
It just
did not acknowledge.
So, hey,
she just literally walked
off stage. The crowd's going crazy.
Yes.
Walks by Rob. Hi.
What's up?
I know, but you don't need. I think saying you killed it is so phony. It's like, yeah, I know.
No, but
I
she did
it.
Kill
she
it.
Did
it's
kill
the opposite
it.
Of phony.
Now, I know she knows she killed it. We just heard the crowd. We don't need Rob Mayer to verify it.
Okay, I understand that, but you understand. God, you don't know that women like compliments. You don't know God. This.
But you said she responded indifferently
because she look in that situation. I'm backstage. It's not unrealistic that it could be important. I'm not just somebody on the street. That said, hey, I saw you on Colbert. I saw you killed it.
There's all kinds of levels of importance.
You're right. And she was, I could see her head turning, spinning and saying, is this somebody that is, does he work for the show? Is he right. here? Is somebody's, you know, she was going through her little mental Rolodex. Is this somebody that has any, you know, clout in the business or somebody that I've met before?
I want Mike to be impressed by what we do, but he isn't.
No,
I don't know why I want to be affirmed by Mike.
True.
I feel like, and we did a bad job. He could have come to any other show.
Yeah.
And if he did, and because he saw that horrible show, it blew, by the way, the place went out of business.
Right. He still blames us. He blames you.
He does. He blames me. So, yeah, I want him to affirm me, but yet somehow I know our shows are more successful than the shows he does.
Of course.
But I want to be affirmed by Mike. I'm not sure why, but it translates just to this. That's how he is.
Yeah.
He considers me beneath him, and so he's never going to affirm me.
I also met Nick Offerman. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah. Do you know who that is, Mike?
Yeah, I know who that is.
All right.
I didn't say he killed it. You know why? Because I didn't think he killed it.
You thought he didn't do well?
I barely saw what he did, so I couldn't speak to that.
He's got a new movie out. I think it's called, like, Hearts on Fire or something like that.
I think that's what he was there for.
It looks outstanding. I'm definitely going to see it. It's got, like, a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's about... I guess he's an aged musician, failed musician.
Right.
And his daughter has some sort of aptitude. So he starts a band with her and starts having success just as she's leaving high school. And so that's where we start.
Okay.
But anyway, I it looks good. I'm going to definitely go see it.
You've mentioned Rotten Tomatoes twice.
Okay.
Right.
He mentions it at least three times an episode.
I'm going to tell you why, but go ahead.
Website.
Shit on it and then I'll defend it.
It's for the layman. I mean, it's for the common man.
No, actually, it's not.
But he is the common man.
Listen, first of all, you're wrong, and I'm going to tell you why. It's really the only place to get objectivity, okay? So let's say, for example, I want to go see a movie, and I only listen to Mike Chamberlain, and he tells me that the best picture of the year sucks. You understand what I'm saying?
He also says Dark Knight sucks.
Right, right. If I just listen to one critic... That's just one, but anything, you know how many things happen to you? Maybe your car you had to duct tape your car together that morning, right? Maybe the library didn't have the movie that you wanted to check out, right? Maybe you needed to go someplace, but your wife had the car, so you had to walk. So you understand there's things that come into your day that affect what you see. And now all of a sudden I'm basing what I want to do on how one person feels. So what this does is it takes many, many critics' opinions into consideration, and then it gives you a collection. It gives you this aggregate, which is unbiased because it takes all biases into account. And therefore, you get to have this number. And if the number is a 9 at the beginning of it, then it's probably going to be a pretty good film. Not according to you. You'll go and say it's shit, but
it's taking all these critics into account.
That's the difference, not the problem.
All these critics.
No. However, there's a safeguard in there because that's only one of 200. See, that's the thing. I mean, I'm getting a much truer.
Most critics are terrible, and their opinions don't mean anything.
Well, if then you would never look at anything, right?
How
but by
often
the way,
do you see a movie that has a high rating that you don't like?
Say high. If it's in the 90s, I usually like it.
Right? Oh, well, most stuff I see, people think is better than I do.
No, I get that. You look at things much more critically again. But like the last movie that got really good reviews that I didn't love was You Were Never Really Here, the Joaquin Phoenix movie.
Right.
But most of the time, if it's in the 90s, I'll usually like it. And you know, maybe you think that that makes me a rube.
What
that's
was
fine.
Bird? What was Birdman?
Probably in the 90s. I don't know. But no, right, obviously, Mike, but you're also a contrarian, you know what I mean? And I get that. But you also look at things way more critically. The thing about it is you think about a movie like The Shape of Water, which you say, you know, you don't think it's no good. You probably just didn't enjoy it as much as you thought you were going to.
I mean, it's actually watchable.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, The Dark Knight, it's not no good. You don't think it sucks.
No, I think The Dark Knight is a big mess.
J.L. So Covan broke something.
Yeah, he's going to drive to where you live.
All right, let's talk about this, because there's been a running theme. When you go to Robbie's to record a show, you guys go out to eat, and then you immediately go in Robbie's bathroom and destroy it. Robbie, has this happened again?
Every time.
Do you just save it up for Robbie, or is this something after every meal?
Well,
you have to do this.
If you listen to the bonus show, it's possible that he wants to save money on toilet paper.
Yeah, well,
just
true.
Holding it in until he gets to Robbie's.
It truly is just a coincidence.
Okay, well, it's like Rotten Tomatoes. We have 200 instances, and it all
happens. It's a sample size of 500.
What did you eat this time?
I take a big one in the morning,
oh,
but for some reason, every time I come to Robbie's, it doesn't happen in the morning. It happens in the evening.
Is that because you're nervous the night before? You didn't get a good night's sleep. You're nervous about seeing Robbie.
But what's interesting is he said, go use the one downstairs, and he changed his mind and said, no, use the one upstairs. It's got a more comfortable seat. It's a little cramped, and it was a little cramped. The seat was fine. Then I came down here and took a leak in the break.
You used the bathroom in two different bathrooms in his house.
The one in the basement is better.
The seat? Okay.
The seat is a lot better. I went ahead and sat my fanny on it just to see.
Oh, okay. Because the upstairs one's like a more solid plastic. This one's kind of flimsy.
It's contoured.
Okay.
But wouldn't you want him doing this as far away from the studio as possible?
The upstairs is as far away from the studio, yeah.
I thought you had one of those cushioned toilet seats, Robbie.
Is your girlfriend in the house when this is happening? Are you warning her? Or is she up there speaking in her language?
You know, she's in China right now. Mike came into the house and didn't once ask me where my girlfriend was.
Yeah, what's up with that, Mike?
Do you care about that?
Strange, right?
Do you care about that kind of stuff, Robbie?
Robbie opens the door holding this little doggy, petting it, just all lovey-dovey.
Gross.
You know, that dog's a show dog. I mean, it came in last, but...
You also said before the show that you've never listened to our show. Is that true? Even when you're on?
No.
Do you know how to listen?
Yeah, I know how to listen. The one time I did the show with Mickey.
That's the one. You listened to that 9 times.
That was literally that's probably 7 years
ago. I remember that feeling like it went really well. So then I told my wife, I think we should listen to one of these. And I was great on it. I have to say it.
Did she think it was like the murder mystery? This is the worst thing I ever heard.
I carried it. He was really good, but I carried it.
If you had to do a podcast with anyone on our show or related to our show that you know of, who would it be? Just you and one other person.
You.
Thank you.
You so the, fucking dick.
The Rob and Mike show? What would we talk about? What would be our subjects? Just our lives? Or would we talk movies? Magic?
Yeah, everything.
We talk magic.
I like how... you are much more natural than Joe.
What do I do that's not natural? How could I be better? Hey, you know, there was a time, Mike, you thought I was the better actor. We had a contest on here. You chose me.
That's a different thing.
Yes.
That's a different skill.
This is being yourself, not acting.
And I'm not natural at being myself?
Apparently not.
All right, sorry. I don't want to get defensive. Tell me how to get better, Mike.
You can be a little pushed, but you do drive the show.
Me?
Not Rob. Yeah, you drive the show.
You talk more, probably. I just go in and out of breaks a little bit.
So,
but you're more natural, Rob, and that's what I'm responding to.
Do you want to do the show with Rob so you can get more words in?
No.
Huh.
Okay, I'd be willing to do a show with you just to see how it goes.
You would?
Yes. Robbie, you willing to produce that?
Of course, but you're going to have to get Mike to drive here, and that's not happening.
It was such an ordeal.
How far is the drive, Mike?
Well, it's not about distance. It's just, you know, it's 95 south, and it's a pain in the ass.
No, drive here to Joe's house.
Oh.
They have some new bathrooms. There's no 95 south. That's, trust me.
That's far. That's Millersville.
Where do you live? Arlington?
I live in Arlington.
Okay. It's not far.
Mm-mm. Close.
It's far.
We don't have to do it on a weekday, on a busy day.
Are you really seriously talking about doing this?
Yes. I think you should do one with me and then one with Joe, and then we'll let people decide which was better.
I think that would be a great idea, but I don't think I can agree to it.
Yeah, he couldn't make it these 2 hours. He's going to have to leave after this.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything you want to say to our listeners as you say goodbye?
I did a magic show a year ago for an RV convention. This was it's called Good Sam Clubs.
Okay.
And they drive around and park their RVs and then hang out. And so I did magic in a big convention hall, and I'm not making this up. They said to me, we're really looking forward to your show, and tomorrow night we have a comedian. And we're really excited about, we're bringing him down just like we brought you down. And I said, is his name? I immediately thought, I bet it's Rob Mayer. I said, is his name Rob? They said, we don't know what his name is. But I asked Robbie, could that have been you? And Robbie said, no.
No, he would have mentioned that.
Yeah. Well, why don't you get their contact info for this year's
Yeah.
Well, he also said you would never do anything like that.
No, that's not true.
What are you talking about?
He would do it in a second, depending on what it paid.
What did they pay you?
They paid great.
Well, of course I would do that.
What'd you make, Mike?
Robbie.
Robbie, you're costing me money here.
I said.
No, a lot of shitty gigs.
That these kind of gigs are very tough to get laughs at when you're
performing. Care about that. I do.
They're great to talk about on the podcast. That's usually all you care about.
All right. It's for the story. I got you.
I guarantee you Mike probably crushed it at that. Hey, Mike, what's your best trick? What's your closer? What do you do?
What's your pie plate closer magic?
It depends on what the show is for.
What if it's an RV show full of people that drive RVs?
It's for all blind people.
Yes. I do a thing where I have a food chopper. It chops up fruits and vegetables, and they put carrots in there, and then they put their hand in there, and then it penetrates their hand, but it chops the vegetables.
What?
You think it would chop both the hand and the vegetable when the blade goes down, but it only chops the vegetable. The hand stays.
They just trust you to do that?
Yep, they do.
Matter of fact, now I remember I did it for Robbie's
his bachelor party.
One of his seven girlfriends ago.
She had a kid, remember?
There's a lot of those. You got to keep narrowing it down.
It's unimportant.
She fell over a lot.
It was for a birthday party. I've seen Mike do the trick many times.
It's very menacing, the blade. I mean, it's serious.
Okay.
I mean,
you bring your own fruit and vegetables?
I bring my own celery.
I've seen a little girl get very nervous with her hand in that thing.
Have you ever went to a gig and, shit, I forgot the celery? You had to turn around.
Have you ever written off?
No, I've used the celery from the table sometimes. Just pulled it right from their dinner table. It's more effective.
Have you ever written off the celery as a business expense?
You betcha.
Of course.
The duct tape is a business expense.
I think the beginning of this interview was slow, but you can chop that off. Or you can just keep the whole thing in, Robbie.
We want his best effort, the one he had when he was with Mickey, not just regular effort.
Would you rather do another show with Mickey or one with Joe?
I want to do one with you.
I know, me first, and then is it Mickey second or Joe second?
Joe.
Okay. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yes.
Because Mickey's a tough get these days. Anyway, Mike Chamberlain, good to have you on. We'll look forward to your next play in the next 2 to 3 years, probably.
And check out the bonus show. Lots of Michael.
Some real good stuff.
Hey, Mike, you killed it.
Bravo. Marcus Herter, Rob and Joshua. Be right back.
Hi, it's Justin Schlegel, radio personality, comedian, actor, Tai Bo master, and home healthcare worker. I want to tell you about yet another hilarious live interactive whodunit from Die Laughing Productions called Smooth Criminal. In this one, I play Billy, manager of the world's greatest Michael Jackson tribute band, the Smooth Criminals. I'm in pursuit of a new lead singer, but my mission is derailed by a murder. Now, I must solve the crime myself in order to salvage the band, and you can help. Please join me and our cast of regulars to experience the laughter and insanity. Smooth Criminal, a murder mystery musical tribute.
Next performance June 16th at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
That's an hour and 20 of Chamberlain. It's a lot.
Well,
we just did our bonus show.
Yeah, but it wasn't all Chamberlain on the bonus show. I told the follow-up to the Graham story from last week.
Yes, very good.
Yeah, I had, what else did I do?
I had a Marlon Wayans story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I do want to talk about, unless you want to go in a different direction, is Rob, you have a clip from
he's walking Chamberlain to the car, so
we have to fill time. I got
you. Well, it's exciting that if you're Michael Mara Show fans, and I'm sure a lot of you are, they just announced their next big live event is going to be in Las Vegas, November 2nd at the Zappos corporate headquarters. They have a nice looking theater in there. I saw some pictures of it today online. It's in the downtown section of Las Vegas, if I'm correct.
Like where Fremont is, that
yes,
place? All right.
I think the old Vegas. That doesn't mean you can get a hotel on the strip, obviously, do whatever you want. But, we are going to try to, we're not going to promise anything, but I will be talking to Oscar this week about trying to combine, to throw a murder mystery or something out there.
Yeah. I mean, what do we need? Permission?
Well, I think once that they sell out their show, which we all imagine would happen almost immediately, or they would get close to immediately, then we can start focusing on bonus things.
Well, we need to start talking to venues now, right?
Yeah, we would do a show on a Saturday, and obviously we would want you all to be there, and it's an interactive show. We'd like to even give roles to some people. We could even have people vie for that. We'll get to that down the road. But there's a lot of ways we can do this. But we had a few months. But Marcus, I assume, are you definitely going to be there, or you don't know?
Right now, I'm on the fence. It's because of scheduling between work and some other trips. I will have just come back from Mexico, so I'm a little on the fence about whether or not I can fit it in.
Also, if the Arena League team wants you back, Vermont Knights or whatever they were called.
The Bucks.
Vermont
Bucks. That doesn't happen until the spring. But, if you want to talk about me participating in the murder mystery, maybe I could lean a different way.
No, 100% we'd have you in the murder mystery.
Need somebody to get killed. Well, Joe, you have potentially have a conflict because you have an exciting thing to report.
Yeah, I got a – well, we talk. I do the post-game remote. When the Ravens,
Demoted last year. Basically.
I got demoted from post game. I was doing the post game on 98 Rock, and I got demoted to doing the remote. So I go to a bar, and I would only home games, and I would interview drunken fans.
And the very last game of last year, which I believe was on New Year's Eve, they lost on a last-second bomb to get eliminated out of the playoffs.
Correct.
And they were a big favorite.
That's right.
And there was like two guys left in the bar that were drunk, and it was probably one of the top five worst live performances you've had to do in your life.
I mean, it was miserable, and I don't like it, but I don't say no.
Right.
Because you don't want to lose whatever opportunity you have. So if they ask me to do it, I do it. So I got a call from the a program director there, and he's like, hey, I want to talk to you about Ravens. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna do it. So he calls up and he goes, hey, how'd you like to do pregame?
Now that seems like better, right?
I said, I would very much like to do pregame. Right now I made a little bit of a mistake, because I go, yes, I 100% I would love to do pregame, and as a matter of fact, I can't tell you how relieved I am, because post game is tough. That's tough for me. First of all, you're out late as shit, right? And it isn't necessarily, somebody that's sitting in a bar doesn't necessarily have anything interesting to say. I got to go hunt these people down. It's hard work to try to do it. So I was like, I don't love doing that. He goes, oh, well, I still might need you to do that. So it's possible that I will come in the morning, do the pregame, which is probably 2 to 3 hours before the game.
Yeah.
Watch the game. Then go to a bar and do post game, and I'll be there from, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or whatever.
It's a long day.
It's a long day, yep.
But they're paying you.
Yeah, they are paying me, and it's exciting to do pregame because, first of all, I think people listen to pregame.
Now, for sure, because they listen to that. They're excited about
and
the
game. And they're still excited. Nothing bad has happened. It's all potential. It's like the beginning of a season, how excited you are, right? So
they're not drunk yet.
And, last year, it was a fun season because last two seasons, they didn't make the playoffs, but they competed the whole year.
They're in the mix.
Yeah, they're always in the mix. So, sure, you get frustrated because you like for them to be, 12-4 and you don't have to worry about it. But as long as they're in the mix, it's always fun because people will participate. They'll watch the game and then they'll call either furious or elated after the game.
Well, we're very excited this week because our Capitals, who we've talked about a lot on the show, a lot of times they have a game while we're on, and usually it's a big game they lose. And this year, they won all the big games. And our curse of D.C. is since 1992 of not winning anything and feeling like perennial losers is now, it's over. We now have an amazing team that the whole city got behind, and actually other fans seem to be cheering and rooting for them.
The last championship D.C. had was in 92, but it was in January of 92.
Yeah.
So I always say 91 because I remember that was the 91 Redskins team. It really wasn't the 92 team, but I guess that's what they're counting. And I guess
it's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. A long time ago. I mean, my girlfriend was born in 1990.
Yeah. So there you go.
So she would turn two later that year.
I wanted to be in D.C. at like a watch party or something, or in the arena because you could watch the game they won and clinched it was in Vegas. But you could go in the Capital One Arena and watch it on the Jumbotron or these outdoor screens they had. Keckner, I was doing that Friday and Saturday with him in New York City at Gotham, but he said, "Do you want to go to the Colbert Show?" And so I thought, and he was doing Sirius Radio, so I moved my whole thing up, bus trip, left at like 6 a.m. And because I wanted to go do the tour of Sirius, go on the radio, get some contacts there, and obviously, go watch him on Colbert. So that seemed like the right thing to do for my career. But then it was, where do I watch the game? Now, I'd done some research, and there was a Caps bar that I'd seen some video on that people, they clearly go crazy for. But it was hard to get there. So we ended up with this bar, this Irish pub, but it was a nice place. And there was an out rooftop and the weather was great. So I watched the first two periods upstairs. Then downstairs we end up for the third period, and I see a guy with a Caps jersey. And I'm like, okay, now I have a guy. Because I want somebody to experience this with.
Now, so you're wearing Caps?
I'm not, actually, because we just came from the Colbert thing, and I should have brought a hat to leave in the car, but whatever. So, or another an outfit change. So I see this guy, Dan. We met, we became friends, and he was just as loud and cheering as I was. So then basically the third period, we watched it together and got to jump up and down and scream like idiots when they won. So that felt cool. At least I had one Caps fan to celebrate this with.
So this Caps bar just had one fan.
No. We didn't go to the Caps bar. That was going to be a half hour to get there. It was a whole
thing. Oh, that's cool.
The Caps bar was packed. Yeah, I did get lucky.
We went to, we talked about Dylan, our friend who passed away. We went to his wake, and afterwards we went to a, in Silver Spring, some bar near there to eat.
Went to the same bar the next day for the funeral.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. It ended up being like, it was like a Caps bar. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Of course, there was a game and we watched it, and that was pretty cool. But, hey, many, many times on this show, we talked about having to get off here to watch the Caps.
Yeah.
And not until this year did they lose every year.
Yeah.
It's the first time we got to experience. It's been a long time coming. The last championship I had was in 2001, I guess, the Terps.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Ohio State fan, so we won about 3-4 years ago.
But it's been a while.
But it is different when you're around in the city where the team is playing and winning. Like I have several, local guys that lived here or used to live here that are huge Cowboys fans, but they're also Caps fans.
Ugh.
So I wish they would just see. Do you see the difference versus the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl and you just being just around nobody versus this? See how much better this is?
Yeah, some idiot that you work with is also a Cowboys fan. You guys are high-fiving.
Right.
That's different than a parade.
Yes.
You're not going to Dallas.
Bro. So you brought up Dylan's funeral. You went to the wake. I went to the funeral. We talked about our good friend dying. Horrible, very sad, but I wanted to the funeral, by the way, it's my first funeral I've ever been to, so I have no frame of reference, but it was obviously sad, but it was very funny. There's a lot of really genuinely funny moments.
Who spoke?
His dad spoke. There were some great lines. His dad said, Dylan was working really hard at comedy, and working hard was new to him. Good laugh.
Right.
His girl fiance spoke. they met in seventh grade. I had no idea this has gone on. He said that they were watching, she said that they were watching the NCAA championship basketball game, and he bet her if my team wins, the team I'm picking, you have to kiss me. And she goes, okay. And then the team that he picked won by a lot. And she goes, I think he probably knew that. So I said, that's good. That's so someone he worked with, his day job, you know, I just assumed he's a comic like me that any day job he's had, he's hated, but he actually cared about that and worked hard at that and was beloved there. So there was a moment where, you know, they asked, does anybody want to speak? And I thought, you know, I feel like I do owe it to Dylan. Just 2 weeks ago, he recorded a podcast where I was talking to the guy Martin's podcast, and he said he talked about how much he looked up to you and all stuff. And so I felt like that. And then the woman running the funeral, she said, anybody want to step up? So I walked up, and she goes, oh, no, I forgot. And this other comic, Benji Himmelfarb, he was like on the program.
Oh, I got you.
So then he got up and he's like, yeah, I almost got bumped from Dylan's funeral. Huge laugh.
Right.
He read some things from Chris Milner, our British comedian that got deported. Big laugh about him being deported. So anyway, during, his fiance's speech, she mentioned the song Just a Friend by Biz Markie as being this moment in their relationship. And so once she said that, I said to myself, when I go up there, if I do, obviously I'll be introducing myself and I'm going to say, yeah, I first met Dylan at a Biz Markie concert.
Okay.
I remember years ago, there was some award show and, who's the chick in the, Boogie Nights and,
Heather Graham?
No, the one he had, the
Julianne Moore?
Yes, Julianne Moore. She had won some award, something recently. And she went up and said, yeah, it all started on As the World Turns or something. Then right after that, Zach Galifianakis was part of some show or movie that had won something. And he got up there and he said, yep, come a long way from As the World Turns. It gets a huge laugh, right? So that's basically the gist of the joke that I'm doing that callback. So I go up there and I say that and everyone had forgotten that she mentioned it. The only laugh is from her. I'm like, okay, I'm already bombing.
So, you don't want to bomb at a funeral.
No, I don't want to bomb at a funeral. So it went better after that. But it's funny. I see Dan K. Charnley afterwards. He goes, yeah, Benji got you today. So he's saying that he had a better set than you. but it was an excellent service.
Well, that's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
But I'm glad you got to talk. Do you mind if I talk about what I was going to talk about before?
I don't mind.
So, I was listening to Quality Time. I talk about it often. Other than the Rob and Joe show, my favorite podcast is Quality Time. They have like 20 listeners and I'm one of them. I listen every week and I love the show. It's Eric Woodworth, who does our murder mystery. We mention him all the time. His brother, Jeremy, who's makes absolutely no sense. He never does. Yeah, Robbie can't stand him. Not him, but when he talks. And then Kim Ambrose, who I'm not sure how much longer she's going to be on the show because she's like 1,000 weeks pregnant. Yeah. But they did this. They break down movies. Mm-hmm. And this time they broke down a blaxploitation movie. It's called Coffee. It stars Pam Grier. She's Coffee.
Nice.
And she's, you know, going around killing vigilante-style people. Okay. So she says something and somebody makes a joke. I wonder if Tawanda says that to Rob, because this is Pam Grier saying this to a white guy.
Right.
Okay, that's the joke. And actually, do you have it, Robbie? Okay.
I got it right here.
Then they say this. Go ahead.
She's really like, I'm going to get this fucking guy to believe me. Like, I'm going to fuck him up. And the only way to do that is to say whatever is going to get him to believe me. Yes. Basically, she says something along the lines of, she goes like, I just need your hot white body.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Rob Mayer hears that every night.
Yeah. Oh,
ew.
Please pull out your sweaty red-haired body. We love you, Rob Mayer. So anyway,
All right. So by the way, I forgot they shit on your body. My takeaway was that they said you had red hair.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Now, it's funny you say that because I never thought you had red hair.
I don't have red hair.
Hold on. What do you mean? You're more upset about the red hair than they say that you have a horrible body?
Well, that's true.
So I then go onto Twitter and I see a picture of you and your hair is clearly red in this picture.
But it's not.
But
sometimes Rob's hair looks red. I think it's after the dye phase.
Yes, it is. When I get it colored, that's
Shouldn't you change if people think you're a redhead? You don't want to be a redhead, do you? Shouldn't you change your color to something more brown?
Okay. Well, it is a. Yeah, it is. It is in the brown family. It's probably got some
more
reddish tone.
I'd get those reddish tones out of there.
You've never said it looks bad.
No. Well, first of all, I don't think it looks bad, but I wouldn't tell you if I did.
Okay, but in your mind, have you ever said that?
No.
Okay.
No, but I have said it looks kind of not a natural color.
Okay.
So maybe it's too red.
Maybe it is.
Are you considering, would you have the balls to change the color?
Yeah, I mean, I could just say, don't make it as red.
Why don't you just go full Jackie Mason orange?
Okay. Robbie, because the other day I was, because Keckner brought a friend with him, the guy's known for his whole life, basically, and he referred to me as the ginger. So,
oh, he did?
Yes.
Yeah,
he was just messing with me. But Robbie, do you think I have red hair?
No, but I knew exactly what they were talking about when they mentioned it.
I thought Justin had red hair for a while.
He has, his beard can be kind of red. You're right.
But I'm also colorblind.
Yeah, but I showed you that picture. Robbie, did I send you that picture of Rob when he was on Twitter where his hair looks red?
No, but I've seen pictures where I thought the same thing.
So I showed it to Rob because clearly it looks like he looks like the spokesperson for McDonald's in this picture. So I show it to him and he's like, oh yeah, but then I guess I didn't realize you probably didn't even notice that it was red. You probably couldn't tell.
No, it's never looked like how you're describing it, that red. It's only that picture. It looked like to me you might be able to think that.
I think it had to do with not just the hair dye, but also whatever light was on it.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But, and I'm sure that if I was in there, my hair might look red, but if it looks so red that I can certainly understand why somebody would think you have red hair. I look now, I don't see red hair,
okay.
But
this is a recent photo. Do I look? Zoom in. Hold on. Do I look like that's two nights ago?
It looks a little red. It doesn't. It's not like Lucille Ball, like in that other picture, but in that picture, it does. It does look a little red.
Yeah, I mean, but it's more brown than anything, right?
True. That's true. But
well, that's different than being a ginger.
If people are calling you a ginger, that's not me shitting on you. Mm-hmm. I would. I'd say, hey, take a little red out when you talk to your lady.
Okay. Maybe I need to have Robbie's girlfriend to talk to her. It's a language barrier. So
tell her how to say, hey, Robbie.
Well, she's Vietnamese.
Ask your girl how to say browner in Vietnamese.
My girlfriend doesn't speak all those languages.
Whatever.
She does not.
At least she knows somebody that does. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think because I remember when I've known you for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I've never thought you had red hair.
That's because I don't.
Well, hold on. You're getting, see, yeah. It's like the headshot. You don't have it. I get it. But you're coloring your hair.
Yes.
So that's not your hair color.
Yes.
Well, that color, which isn't your hair color, mm-hmm. might be too red.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, you might have to go more blonde.
Okay.
No, that's a horrible idea.
Does it look different than my eyebrows? Is there a big difference?
Well, you have a hat on now, but your eyebrows don't look red.
Okay. But, I mean, you don't...
Take your hat off.
Okay.
Do you dye your eyebrows, Rob?
So, I don't notice the difference between...
Every third time she does, a little bit on the eyebrows.
I know. Hey, I do use my Just for Men medium brown.
Yeah.
And I definitely shove some up my eyebrows.
Nice.
Dude, I had one eyebrow. It fucking looked like... First of all, it was like 9 inches long, okay? And it was also white as a fucking sheet. So, I definitely, you know, trim my eyebrows like Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, you got to.
And then I fucking dyed it.
Good for you, Joe.
I actually left it in a little longer. Whenever I'm going to hang out with Katie's parents, I always dye my beard.
If memory serves, I think Rob's color is chestnut brown.
Yeah,
chestnut. I think that was a joke that somebody said. She's never told me what it's called. I don't know what. You know.
We need to find this out. It's probably called red brown.
I talked about going on vacation with Katie's family, and I definitely dyed my beard, but I'd been dieting before, but I guess I just, like 2 weeks, I realized I'm never going to hit my goal weight, so I just fucking gave up. And I have a really good story that I can't even tell it on the bonus show, but I told Rob a little bit about it. And when I told you somebody took my blood pressure, they also weighed me.
Uh-oh.
And now I had all my clothes and shoes on, but the first number was a 2.
Yeah, you're always in that situation convincing yourself that your cell phone and shoes and belt are super heavy.
I definitely, I mean, it was a very low, it was 202. So I definitely don't weigh.
You and I weigh the exact same amount, Joe.
Okay. Again, I had all my shoes on, my socks on, jeans on, shirt on, my hat on.
I was fully clothed. I don't think I had shoes on. But.
Okay. Anyway, I don't weigh 202. Right? I weigh whatever I weigh minus these shoes.
But take off all those outfit and put it on the scale and see what it says.
All right. Yeah, I'll do that. So yeah. Anyway, or I could just weigh myself naked if I was going to do all that. But
that's true.
The point is, much more than my beard being gray, I'm just this fat old man out there. I need to.
Yeah.
You know, I need to lose 30 pounds.
Well, I mean, that's not going to happen.
No.
But
I mean,
you could lose 15.
I have
keep it off.
I've done it. I've done that before.
Yeah, keeping it off.
Well, no, I don't care about keeping it off. I just want to be. I want to weigh 170 for my wedding.
For your wedding. Okay.
Yeah.
Was there a date?
So we had a date. It was June 8th, but we just got bumped
a year from now.
By the way, I'll get married tomorrow. It's not my decision.
Not if you want to lose 30 pounds.
No, that's not happening. Yeah. So it's a year, and it's so funny. I'm like, all right, I can't eat shit no matter what. I can't do it. Rob walked in. What are those things you walked in with?
Yeah, at the Colbert Show, we stole all the snacks, and they're from this place called Milk Bar. Christina Tozzi, she was on MasterChef. She's a great baker. Birthday truffles. They are fantastic.
Milk Bar is fantastic.
Yes.
And I just ate this truffle. I mean, what am I going to do, not try it? I mean, the whole idea.
It's amazing.
Oh, I ate one, probably 500 calories.
Well, it's very rich. So I'll give Katie one, and then I'll hopefully eat the other one.
I don't know that Katie will eat one.
Well, then you and me, buddy.
God, I can't eat another one of those.
No, they are rich, but they are, you can't, but you want to. You're going to eat it right now, aren't you?
Anyway, no. But the point is, I have to go out into the water. I got lucky because Katie's dad had a melanoma. And as a result, I'm not lucky about his melanoma, yeah. But I got lucky because he wore a shirt in the water.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, oh, well, and I'm also concerned with melanoma, and then I wore a shirt.
let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap this up. We got some songs to play, some montages, a good big finish here to the Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show has become a fixture in my weekly flow. I don't miss work or church or chores, nor would I forget Rob and Joe. They aren't just funny, but can be most interesting. Not only that, I make new friends and share our thoughts by being there with them in chat. Their great success is created by all the talent that they share. But much of it is just because they, with great luck, have Robbie there. For those who miss the bonus shows, I promise it would be worthwhile to pay $5 just to add to your life many laughs and smiles. Just go to Patreon and join. Become a patron today. I promise you will never feel as though you've thrown $5 away.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Hey, real quick before you play your song.
Yeah.
We mentioned Jeremy Woolworth. If you listened to the show last week, I talked about the end of Quality Time where they played a song which wasn't even really a parody. It was almost like a tribute to the North American Man Boy Love Association that was recorded by, I guess, a young Jeremy Woodworth.
Yeah.
So Jeremy Woodworth also dresses up like Pogo the Clown. Do you know who that is, guys?
I do.
Yeah. That's the clown that John Wayne Gacy used to dress up as.
Killer.
Yeah, he's a serial killer. He killed like 500 kids or whatever, buried them in his basement. Anyway, he dresses up like him. He goes around. So he takes a video of himself at Comic-Con walking around, and the bed for this video is that song.
It's
about the North American Man Boy
Love. The song that we're about to play.
Well, no. Are we playing it?
We are, aren't we?
No, we played it last week.
Oh, we did?
Didn't we, Robbie? Didn't we play that song?
No, we talked about it. We did not actually play the song. Nobody told me we were
good.
Play
I don't want to play
it. I have written on the list Quality Time song. I just assumed.
No, Quality Time clip, which we just played.
Oh, that was gotcha.
Different thing. All right.
So, our good buddy, Jim Amato, of the no longer defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. He is, you know, does fantastic montage bits, clips. He'll do it when he hosts AmeriCast. And I believe he's done one for our show, Robbie?
Yes, he did a synopsis of the month of May on the Rob and Joe Show in a minute and a half.
Awesome. Let's hear it. So Robbie just sent me a friend request. I mean, what's the advantage of being friends with Rob?
I see these little shits all the time. And I go, thank God that's not me.
I appreciate the shout out to my 7-year-old. You might want to refrain from F and S bombs. Well done, Mac. Well done, Paul.
I'm attracted to men. What's my biggest worry, Robbie?
That the video doesn't work?
No, that's not my biggest worry.
That's my biggest worry.
This is stressful, man.
The video ends, and it ends with so with dots.
Okay.
I got the Rob and Joe Show today. Two shows. I have my regular job. You know, I do a job.
Katie, I'm so happy to be here with you today and with all of our friends and family. And I just want to say that you have made me the happiest man in the world.
Hey, Katie. I don't mean to sound like an a-hole. I think I'd like to suck your tit.
You're next level Restivo S stupid. Please think before you tweet.
AmeriCast did not fucking talk about our show.
Jim Amato is awesome. And he treats the job with respect. I love Marcus. I do. Ratatouille's better than Finding Dory.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting away with something.
My co-host is my fiance, Katie. Woo!
One person said something negative.
It was Mike?
It was Mike.
Oh, what'd he say?
Oh, no, not again, Jeff.
So, that's the filter. I want Gramps to know something. I love Gramps so much.
Wow.
When did I say, nice job, Jim?
Bravo.
When did I say I want to suck your tits? When did I say that? I must have been referring to somebody else.
Really good stuff. Classic Amato. Yeah, that's actually more enjoyable than listening to the show. Just
yeah.
Just that.
Why don't we just send the show to Jim and have him just do that?
90 seconds. Yeah. I got to see, speaking of friends, J.L. Covan came to see me at the Gotham, and Mike Payne, co-author of Blame the Victim.
Well, I want to talk about J.L., but real quick, Jim Amato is hosting AmeriCast next week.
Fantastic.
This week.
It's a must listen to.
Good. That means we'll get some Rob and Joe love.
Nice. Somebody who loves the show, pays attention, but whatever.
Yeah, J.L.
Bullshit.
J.L. is making me crazy. He's just making me nuts.
That's entertaining me.
God, it makes me so crazy. And what I'm not going to get it all though, but basically what I'm telling him is, you know, hey.
Why are we getting into this?
Should I not?
This is not funny.
Yeah. You don't want me to mention
you
that?
Can if you want.
No. Just, all right. I'm feuding with him. All right.
I like that you two are feuding though. It's cute.
Yeah. And you're just fueling him by mentioning him.
I know.
But he tried to apologize and he called me a Trump supporter and his apology. It's hard to. Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not. So
listen to the righteous prick this week, and I met the righteous girlfriend. She showed up, so that was nice. Lovely lady, Laura.
Regardless.
Can I say her name? I don't know if we're allowed to say her
Yeah, he doesn't say her name.
Sorry.
Maybe he does. He All says right. his dog's name. So yeah. I know no matter
what's
what.
What's her first name?
He just said it. On a scale from 1 to 10, I know you'd never say she wasn't
on.
Hot. Give me the numbers. Just give me the fingers.
Oh, gee, okay.
Just give them to me. I won't react.
All right.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. How tall is she?
Not tall. So, I mean, JL's gonna dwarf, whatever the word is.
Dwarf.
Most
He's
people.
Also gonna dwarf her.
He's 6'7".
He dwarfs me when he says I love Trump.
He was at my first show, and I wish that they'd come Saturday night because those crowds were better. I would say of the four shows, they saw the third best one of the four.
Not like Mike Chamberlain, who saw the worst murder mystery.
But
we
there
ever
was an audience member, a couple that her name was Sunshine. His name was Jake, which I thought was just a funny combination.
Jake and the Sunshine.
Yes, I riffed on that for a while. But they have two kids named Maple and Magnolia. So I'm like, Maple, that's kind of sexy. Then I'm like, oh wait, how old's the kid? 4. So,
dude, that's Maple's not a great name.
Mm. Yeah, it's Maple Magnolia is a good name for somebody like a porn star or something.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that's not what they. I'm sure that's what they intended.
Maybe they were trying to spell Mabel.
Well, they clearly they both named after trees, right? Magnolia is a much better name than maple, but I guess it's better if your name is oak.
All right, let's. If you had to name you had to change your name to a name of a tree, what would you do? Google trees here.
Let me think. You got your spruce. You got your pine.
Elm.
You got your Elm. Elm's a bad name.
Elm Robinson.
Weeping Willow is bad. What
Cedar.
Else? Cedar. Cedar's a type. Is that a tree or is that a type of wood that comes from a, does it come from a cedar tree?
You ask me a question, I don't know the answer.
Dogwood. That's a bad name, right?
Yeah.
Dogwood's a cool name.
Not with a girl. You don't want dog in your name.
No, you're naming yourself that. You're changing your name.
Oh, my name.
Yeah.
Pine Robinson?
I could be Red Pine, apparently. Sassafras?
That's bad.
Spruce? Sycamore?
Sycamore, also bad. That's the name of the team that won the white team that won in Hoosiers.
Yeah, I like chestnut.
That's a, your
chestnut thing. Oak. It says it right here.
Chestnut brown.
Red oak. I'll be oak. Oak mare. I'm going with oak.
Well, there was a basketball player named Tree Rollins.
Yes. Yeah.
But just tree in general. Remember that River Phoenix, he had a brother, Joaquin. His name used to be like Leaf. I'm not kidding. It was either Leaf or Twig or something like that.
Right.
Kid you not. If you Wikipedia him, his name was not Joaquin originally, or he went by some other name, but there's River, Sky, you know, Valley, Rock.
Is Phoenix real?
Yeah. Phoenix is real.
Okay. Because you already got a cool last name.
That's true. Joaquin is pretty good too. But you better be a badass to pull off the name Joaquin.
Yeah, but if you have a cool last name, you can't be Bill Phoenix, right?
No. But if your name was, you'd go by William. You wouldn't go by Bill.
Willie Phoenix?
Hey, Katie just messaged May 31st. I assume that's the wedding day. Let me just
see. She just got moved up, man. She's smothering you. The pressure's on.
May.
Just moved up a week.
No, I moved up. Yeah, two. Oh, no, you're right. 1 week. Yeah, no, that's better.
I'm booked. Sorry.
All right. May 31st.
Are we locking that in?
Well, I don't know.
Do we have a location? Can we announce this?
Yeah, Riviera Maya is where it's going to be.
All right. You know the resort?
I can't have a bunch of listeners showing up.
Why not?
Yeah, there's River Phoenix, Summer Phoenix, Rain Phoenix, Liberty Phoenix.
And Marcus Serta Phoenix.
And Marcus Serta Phoenix. But his name was originally, let's say, other names. Yeah, Leaf. Leaf was his original name.
Top 10 hotels in this
place. It's a resort.
Resort?
Yeah, it's going to be a resort.
What's the difference? Aren't all these places resorts? Riviera Maya Resorts.
Tell you the name of it?
Staying in October.
Is it all-inclusive? You know what I like.
Of course it's all-inclusive.
Okay.
Drinks at 10 a.m., Rob.
But they also, they're not a big fan of the redheads.
I'm going to have my head
They freckle.
Shaved.
They don't like it.
Is it the Unico?
Nope.
Damn it. I liked it. Looks, it popped up first. I assumed it was the best.
Jim Amato just said Restivo Phoenix. If you didn't know Chris Restivo, you think Restivo would be kind of a cool name. But you just can't get past it now.
Restivo, I hope he's doing okay, because he said that he was legally pronounced dead 2 days ago.
Yes.
A day later, he was fine.
Do you know that, Robbie?
No. What is that? What happened?
So this is not me. This was on Twitter.
I believe he said alcohol poisoning.
So Katie just said to say it on the air. Dreams Riviera, all are invited. So if any listeners want to show up.
All right.
You're welcome to just show up to my wedding. Now, you can't get into the reception, but if you wanted to be there, feel free.
Well, they could be at a bar nearby, right?
Well, they can be anywhere on the resort.
Can they win a contest to be invited to the reception? Is there a Patreon number they have to hit?
I don't think so. Hold on. I'm almost to the... Okay, here's from Chris Restivo's. I believe this is from his Facebook page. 2 days ago, I was officially pronounced dead.
I had a seizure at jiu-jitsu class.
2 days ago, I was officially pronounced dead. Now I'm back. I'm getting strong.
I was in the hospital for like 3 hours.
Back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
2 hours ago, I was officially pronounced dead. Now I'm back. I'm getting stronger than ever, and now I'm back.
Good for you.
Hey, how's it going?
Now, at the time, it had no likes. But I don't know how it's doing now.
Hey, this Saturday, once again, you guys are doing a murder mystery without me. I'm leaving you. I'm going to Columbus, Ohio. with Keckner some more. But you're doing the Bright Box, one of our main venues. We're doing it five times this year in Winchester, Virginia.
Yeah, and it's I think the first show's already sold out.
Yeah. Are you guys doing – you're staying down the night down there? Is that
so
the idea?
We're trying to. We try to do an Airbnb, but listen, it's kind of a dick move. So we're trying to do an Airbnb, but we try to rent to them. Both of them say, no, it's only for two nights. So they tell you, they give you a price, but what they really want is this, you know, they want, but they, so I'm like, well, is it not worth it? It's not booked. It's next week.
Yeah, but it's better than nothing, right?
I guess they don't feel that way.
Keckner's buddy got an Airbnb. He ended up in this girl's studio apartment, just like in a bed, like next to her. It's just weird.
Seriously?
Yes.
Her? It was a girl?
Yes.
Was she hot?
She's a black girl. They're, I don't think they're not afraid of white guys, I think. They realize that they think they can, I don't know.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, right?
Of course.
Yeah. It's in Chelsea. It's a nice area. It's a good location for everything where we're at.
Was he single?
I believe so.
Was she single?
I'm guessing. She came to one of the shows by herself.
She did?
Yeah.
He stayed in Airbnb. He slept in the same room as this girl.
I think they had like a room divider or something. Like no like door or anything or wall.
Man, did she
75
say...
$75 a night. It's not bad, right, in Chelsea?
No. Did she say, send me a picture of you?
No, she didn't. She said, are you hanging out with any redheads this weekend? hey, hate to end the show once again on a sad note, but one of our best listeners, Sue Fedor, lost her battle with cancer this past week. You know, she was really good about keeping you updated and talking about it and being open about it and on Facebook, and definitely admired and respected her for that. She was a big Michael Mara Show fan. That's how we first met her. We've hung out socially. She's come to comedy shows, murder mysteries. She and Tawana and I and Petey Steele, a friend of ours, went to a concert, The Revolution, at the Fillmore in Silver Spring about a year ago. So another person has gone way too soon, but... I don't know. I'm not good at this.
Are you going to speak at her funeral?
I would, if asked, I would definitely do that.
I hope you do better than you did at Dylan's.
I'll just do Prince lyrics. Nothing about Biz Markie. So.
Now, yeah, I met her a couple times. She was awesome.
She was a very nice lady.
Loyal listener. I really going to miss her because, Marcus, she did Americast, correct?
She was on episode 16.
Yeah. And I remember distinctly because she listened to the show, our show, unlike the lady you had on this week.
Yes.
I'm just kidding, man.
And that's again a sad note. Rest in peace, Sue. God bless you and your family. Hope they are doing well. You were awesome, and it was good to know you. We miss you.